Well, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to do some review tonight. Some people, sometimes they say, you know, you do so much review. Now, I don't really do enough review. You can't hear these things too many times. You know? Say, well, how long are you going to keep doing it? Until you start doing it. But the idea is not spend a whole hour on review. And Sue still calls me the master of synopsis. So I'm going to try and quickly get our minds going down the same path where we ended. You remember Sunday how that service ended? I said to be continued. Tonight's we're going to continue. Now, what we've been doing again is going back and revisiting what I call the face-to-face documents with a 10-year perspective. And these are specifically 20 encounters I had with the Holy Spirit that came about in late 1998. They've been at the website in written form for years. There's been many more besides those 20. Say, well, when are you going to publish those? I'm not planning on ever publishing those. The idea is not for you to study in great detail what he says to me. The idea is to hold those out as a carrot, an enticement to show you what's available. If you'll do the same thing that's on Dave's two-tape series called Distinguishing God's Voice. Now, I'm a firm believer in this, and now you don't have to turn to John. We've been there for several of these. We started off in John 14. What is the purpose of this? I'm not here just to teach you. I'm here to pass you off. We're in a relay race, and you're the baton. Dave and I are not trying to make followers of Dave and Gary. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, we're doing our best, you know, because we've been at this a little longer maybe. So we're doing our best to teach you what we've already learned. But the goal really is to pass you off into the hands of Jesus. And by that I mean the Holy Spirit, because he is the agent of the Lord that's on the earth with us today. Jesus himself, the glorified Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Yet in John 14, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Now, if somebody you've been following for 3.5 years tells you they're leaving the planet and they're not coming back right away, they said, well, can we follow you? Can we go where you're going? No, you can't go now. You'll come later. Well, if you're going to be somewhere else, how in the world are we going to follow you? So that's when he begins to introduce the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, I want to pray the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Boy, that means so much to Sue and I, because for the first 12 years that we were saved and Spirit-filled, we did our best to serve the Lord. But I got to tell you, it was kind of a scattershot, just whatever become available, you know. I mean, y'all do know I'm not called to lead worship in any church. You do know that, right? But I wound up doing it because I could strum a guitar and nobody else could, you know. But it was just that kind of thing. We were just doing whatever we could find put our hand to do, and hoping that some of it was the Lord. And it's okay. He'll bless that kind of walk all that he can, because you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward for it. It's not a terrible thing. It's just that there's a much higher walk, because he said, I am not going to leave you as an orphan. Now, an orphan has to find their own way. They don't have anybody to lead them. They don't have anybody to provide for them. They're just doing their best on their own. Thank God he left us with a higher level of leadership than that. He said, I'm going to send you this Holy Ghost. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's not going to he's not coming to replace me as your Lord. What he hears, that's what he's going to speak. Now, what he means by that, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is at the same instant in heaven with Christ that he is at that same instant in fellowship with each and every believer on the face of the earth. He's better than email. I mean, he is here to bring you the present hour mind of Christ in every situation. Now, here's the picture that he gave me. See, again, we're doing pretty good. This is a pretty quick synopsis now. See, again, I used to be so jealous of the 12. I said, this is just not fair. I mean, they got to travel with you, Jesus. I mean, you know, to go from town to town. Every morning when they woke up, they could just ask you, Lord, what are we, you know, what do you want me to do today? I don't know about Peter. What do you want me to do today? Well, from his mouth to their ear, they'd get their instructions. You know, maybe go loose the colt. Maybe go do this. Maybe go do that. Besides that kind of leadership, then in the evenings, you know, I always kind of see it around the campfire. I don't know. You know, in between towns or whatever. You know, they got to hear every single sermon that Jesus preached, every single one of them. And then if they had questions, boy, how would you like to have this opportunity around the campfire that night? Lord, could you expound a little bit more on that? Oh, my God. How'd you like to have been in some of those conversations, you know? Well, they got to do all that. I said, that's just not fair. I mean, I saw them walking side by side with Jesus everywhere that they went for 3.5 years. I said, that's just not right. I don't have that kind of fellowship. I don't have that kind of leadership. And he said, yes, you do. That's why I sent the Holy Spirit. And really, you have an advantage that the 12 never had. Because in order to get that kind of leadership, they had to be in my physical presence. He says, by that method, it'd be very limited how many disciples I could have on the earth. But by this method with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be in my presence because I have sent him to be in yours. I have sent him to be in your presence. And he brings you my present hour speaking. I'm telling you, on that day, we're not going to have any excuses. Because really, we have just the same opportunity to walk stride for stride with the Master. The difference is we're not walking next to Jesus in his glorified body, but we're walking with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that he sent. That if we learn how to fellowship with him, we can have the exact same level of leadership that they had all the time. Well, that's one of the master strokes of genius, why the Lord bypassed our intellect, because most people, you know, we all have good intentions. We want to follow the Lord. But when I started this, I had no idea what he really called me to do. If you'd have asked me, I'd have probably guessed I'd wind up being a pastor someday because the denomination I grew up in, that's all that was left. You know, it was only pastor and missionary, Sunday school teacher. Nothing there. There was no apostle, prophet, anything else. Well, you know, God would have blessed that path. I mean, no, Sue always says, thank God we didn't go down that path. But anyway, you know, but the Holy Spirit, if you keep praying, one of his primary functions is to teach you your call. And I found out on that path, took a long time, but I eventually found out you're not called a pastor. You're called to be a teacher in the body. So that's what I am. People call me pastor and that's okay, but I just know I'm not one. If you hang around me very much, you'll find out I'm not one. I really don't have a pastor's heart. You know, I'm gentle to a point. But I'm more like Miss Daisy, you know. Now, Miss Daisy was in this high up in the schools for a long time now, and I'll teach you to a certain point, but there comes a time I'll bring out that 3-foot ruler and I'll whack you across the knuckles. You know. Shepherd's heart's a little different. Okay. Well, anyhow, so we've been teaching about that and going through it with a 10-year perspective. Now, let me bring you up through Sunday. Sunday's particular lesson that we were talking about here, at the website, it's in the face-to-face section. Of course, now we have them in audio. But we were teaching on the one that's titled Becoming Vessels of Light. I think the actual title I put on it, I called it Black Holes of Need. Because we talked about that in the course of it, and I know a lot of people will listen to it because it has that title. But really, we were talking about becoming vessels of light. I went into great detail how I went back and checked the scriptures when the Holy Spirit began talking on that particular day, because what he said was so, I never heard anything like it. And I'm not going to go through all those scriptures again tonight. But I'm going to read you those, at least the first two paragraphs. And then we're going to make some observations, okay? And we'll be back, we'll be close enough to where we can continue on then. He says, I am the anointing, says the Spirit of grace. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But I am the anointing. Remember, the Word says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I am the anointing of God. The Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with me. I am the anointing, I am the power, I am the finger of God, the hand of the Father stretched forth. And I am He who brought all things into existence by the power resident within myself. I am He who changes all things to conform to the Father's will. Now, if you would like scriptural documentation for every statement, that's what we did Sunday morning. I'm not going to repeat that now, but let me read you the next paragraph. He says, I do these things by faith. Faith works by love. Faith works by obedience. I bring the mind of Christ to you, says the Spirit, and hearkening to His voice who speaks from heaven, obedience on your part is what releases me, releases the anointing, releases the power to cause the material realm to conform to the will of your Father, which is in heaven, says the Spirit of grace. Now, I study these things myself, trying to milk every statement for understanding. These things come from me, and then I study them like they came through somebody else, because they didn't come from me, I'm telling you right now. Some of the things he says in there, I'm just not near smart enough to say. But I want to make some points now that we did not necessarily make Sunday. See, we continue to think that the anointing is a what? The anointing, you know, like, oh, what do you need, my brother? I need more anointing. If Acts 10:38, which is, did I tell you to open Acts 10? Well, let's go to read the verse, I guess. Acts 10:38, look at it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, but what did He anoint Him with? With the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost comes power. See, Jesus said the same thing to His disciples. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? The Holy Ghost is the anointing. It's not some thing. The anointing is someone. It's a who. And that's a big part of why we're not walking in more of, quote, the anointing, the way it's commonly understood. Because you're not going to walk in very much of the anointing, other than the gifts, without fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Because the anointing really is a who. It's not a what. Okay? Now let's make some points down through here. I studied this thing. So here's some conclusions. Number one, I just said it, but if you're making notes, the anointing is a person. He is an individual. I said to myself, I have always thought of the anointing as being a tangible thing. But now I realize the anointing is a person, specifically the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit Himself. He does not have the anointing. He is the anointing. The anointing is not something. The anointing is someone. We've got to get that. All right, the second point I made to myself, note to self, the anointing is a living entity. The anointing is alive. Say that phrase. The anointing is alive. Say it again. The anointing is alive. See, it's not a thing. It's not something to be purchased. It's not something to be owned. It's alive. It's Him. It's the third member of the Godhead. And we went through this in detail, going all the way back to Genesis 1. You know how I always threaten you to go back to Genesis 1? We really did go back to Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit is the molecule changer. Jesus Himself, totally mature in the new nature. If you want to see the image of the nature full grown, it's look at Christ, look at Jesus. He Himself, born with the nature of God on the inside of Him, yet and that nature alone, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was sufficient to keep Him sin-free for 30 years till He was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And, of course, then that caused Him to be baptized by the Lord, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But that, see, up until that day, until He was baptized in the Holy Ghost, even though He had the new nature in full measure within Him, He Himself did no miracles. Didn't change any water to wine, didn't open any blind eyes. The nature of God, this is why Dave says so often, he says that nature within us is like it's moral in nature. It tells you what's right, it tells you what's wrong. That's why in Romans chapter 2 it talks about, You know, the Jews couldn't understand how God could make these swine-eating Gentiles equal with the Jewish people. These Gentiles had never kept the law a day in their life. And Paul's trying to tell them, look, they have the law now by nature. They don't have to go study it written in tables written in stone. They've got the law. They're doing it by nature. They're keeping the law by nature now. God wrote it on the inside. And that's what that nature's for. But it doesn't do miracles. Jesus himself, in full maturity, did no miracles. Not till he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now again, we went through this in detail Sunday. See, Jesus is the second man. He is the last Adam. When he died on that cross, he didn't die as Jesus, not really. He died as Adam, the whole species of Adam. Well, God originally gave Adam authority and dominion over the earth. Let them have dominion. But when Adam died legally in the courtroom of heaven, a gavel came down and says, Adam is dead. That authority is mine to reassign. Now who would be a good candidate? Ah, here is my son, the second man, the last Adam. All that dominion and more I'm giving to him. And that's why Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He is now anointed with the Holy Spirit to restore all this fallen realm back to the original intent and purpose of the Father. Now see, religion will tell you that, you just need to learn to just be, they kind of come against us faith people, you know. Say, well, you know, you either just accept whatever God, you know, accept His provision. Now what they mean by that, if, you know, they're saying, well, if you got cancer, just glorify God in the cancer. I think we ought to always glorify God in everything. I think we ought to always praise Him and trust Him. But see, what they're really trying to get across there is, well, it's probably God's will that you've got that in the first place. If everything that's going on right now is already God's will, why in the world in Matthew 6 did Jesus tell us, pray, Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Jesus didn't buy that religious poppycock for a minute. He came up to that woman, bowed over for 18 years with a spirit of infirmity. And he says, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, shouldn't this daughter of Abraham be loosed on the Sabbath day? I can hear it now. I can hear it. You know, little meek and mild Jesus, you know. I don't know what kind of picture some people have of him, you know. But he didn't walk up and go, I don't know. This she being bowed over like that might already be the will of the Father. Oh, baloney. He knew the works of the, he knew that was the works of the devil. This woman has been bound by Satan 18 years. Immediately he straightened her up over and over and over. He'd find where they were blind, he'd open their eyes. If they had possessed with devils, he'd cast the devils out. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And he is the agent of authority. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. And it takes them both, that union, the agent of authority and the agent of power, to accomplish the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit, if you notice, He was here the whole time. He doesn't do it automatically. He's not authorized to do it automatically. I don't know how much you'll let us get into that tonight. And here's the part that religion will just, they'll run me off right quick, but I don't care. So we'll start the car. We'll make it away. See, the Holy Spirit won't, because He's not authorized to. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, could not. No, He couldn't either. Couldn't. He didn't do any before He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why didn't He? He could not. You've got to remember, He's not operating, even though He is God in the flesh. He laid down that estate. He was not operating as God. He was operating as a human, the Son of Man. He was operating as a man with the nature of God on the inside, wearing fallen flesh just like ours, yet anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is the perfect pattern for the New Testament church. Perfect pattern. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet still without sin. What does that mean? We can be too. Gary, you know anybody like that? I know one. His name is Jesus. But can we walk there? According to Him, we can. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And He was talking about sin. Gary, you walking there? You must be kidding. Okay? But am I pressing toward the mark? Yes. pressing toward the mark. Well, the anointing is a person now. I can just see it. Once I started getting this understanding, I'm going, okay, Jesus wasn't operating by some kind of magic it. What is it? It, the anointing, whatever we think of the anointing. I need more anointing. That means, if you really translate that, it means you need more cooperation and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let me just ask you real quick. Sidebar. Time out. You reckon the Holy Spirit, just this last week, now just take it for granted that He was with you the whole week. Because He was. Everywhere you went, everything you did, all the people you saw, you reckon He wanted to do more through you this last week? Or less? Wanted to do a lot more. We're in for an exciting time. See, we're in for an exciting time. We've barely begun to have church yet. We're dancing around the fringes of what Jesus calls church. Praise God. Well, another thing I had to get it straight. Oh, we are going to finish Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, what's the purpose? Well, you know, so I can speak with tongues, my brother. I'm glad you speak with tongues. I would that you all speak with tongues. That's not the end result. That's part of the means to getting to the end result. What's the end result? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God who? God the Holy Ghost. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost before, didn't do any miracles, didn't do any healing. But after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, now you had the agent of authority hooked up with the agent of power. And they went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Turn to Acts 10:19. In 1 Timothy 4:1. I just want you to see this. 1 Timothy 4:1. Because the next point on here, the anointing has a voice. I did a tape recently here called The Holy Spirit Speaks. But I want to say it this way to impact your brain. The anointing, who is the Holy Spirit, has a voice. This is more than the new nature. The new nature is moral. Green light, red light. This is okay. That's not okay. What your new nature will not allow, we don't permit if we're going to follow the new nature, right? But see, the Holy Spirit is statistical. He'll give you precise information. He can give you a phone number for a place on the other side of the world. All right? I want you to see it in two places. Acts 10:19. We went through this recently also. This was when Peter was up on the roof and fell over in a trance and saw the vision of the unclean animals being let down by a sheet. But at the end of that, I want you to see how it's worded here, Acts 10:19. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, Jesus said unto him. Is that what your Bible says? The Father said unto him. Is that what your Bible says? The Spirit said. The Spirit said. The Spirit said. I've got to get that across to you. The Holy Ghost speaks. Now, He's not speaking as Lord. He is bringing you the mind of Christ. But it is the Holy Spirit that does the speaking. Now, Peter had this vision. He didn't, at this point, completely understand what it was about. He was pondering the vision. But the Holy Spirit here comes and gives him enough information to take the next step. And that's really all you need, isn't it? You need to have enough information, the what, the when, the how, to take the next step. And notice the information that's in this. The Spirit said unto him, behold, notice, three men seek thee. When he goes downstairs and opens the door and finds out that there's three men, you reckon that's a confirmation? I mean, this is real. I mean, you know, it's verifiable. Okay? Three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down. Now get this. And go with them. He could have just as easily have said, these are men come to put you in prison. Run the other way. Like they did with the spies and in the Old Testament, you know. Have to get away from the authorities. Paul one time was let down in a basket. But no, he's telling him what to do. These three men, there's three of them, they're looking for you. Instructions from heaven. Go with them, doubting nothing. Now notice, for I have sent them. Now when he says, I have sent them, you got to be careful how you understand that. The Holy Spirit did not take it upon himself to send them. The Holy Spirit was involved in sending them because Jesus was involved in sending them. You'd have to go back and read the whole story about Cornelius and how all this came about. But God's working both ends of this thing together. Sent an angel to Cornelius' house, but he's talking with Peter by agency of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you see precise instruction there? That's more than green light, red light. Three men. I want you to go with them. By the way, I sent them. That's pretty good stuff. If you can get that, you see how Peter is not an orphan here? He knows what to do, doesn't he? He's not there pondering. Well, let me see. Let me weigh the pros and cons. Could be good men. Could be bad men. Don't know. Let me listen to their accent. See if they're a native from Judea. I don't know. You know, they sound like Greeks. I'm not sure I'm going with them. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to go through all the mental mumbo jumbo that we do most of the time. We say, well, how did he know to go? The Holy Spirit said. Oh, one other one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know we've looked at this before, but you know, about two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I don't like to give you just one, but there's one. Another one, just you can write down, is Acts chapter 16. It doesn't particularly use the word said, but it says the Holy Spirit forbade them to go into Asia. Okay, he communicated. But I specifically want you to know he speaks. I love this one. Even theologians can't get around this one. 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Who does? The Spirit, capital S. They got it right. Talking about the Holy Ghost. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Doesn't say God the Father. Doesn't say Jesus. Even though it's coming from the mind of Christ, how we hear it from the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we could go on. Where did Paul, who wrote this letter, get that information? He got it from the Holy Spirit, who speaketh expressly. Hallelujah. If he speaketh expressly to Peter, and he speaketh expressly to Paul, I got news for you. He will speaketh expressly to you. Amen. Not good grammar, but he gets the point across. Amen. He will speaketh expressly. I didn't know when he was going to work this in. Now, Alan, you're going to be blessed by this because it's going to so verify what you did at the offering. I was jumping through my seat because I knew I was going to do this at some point in the service. Seeing all of you right now, I look out there at these hungry faces, and I know you're eager to be more developed in these things than you are. And my job is to hold the carrot out there and go, yeah, yeah, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do those lessons again. You know, I did it 1,900 hours already, and I haven't heard him yet, but I'm going to go do it again. That's my job. But see, I'm also supposed to tell you the other end. For benefit, since they don't put the offering messages on there, Alan was talking about stewardship and how the Lord in the early days was teaching him about, because Alan was making a good confession. It's a good confession. I thank you, Lord, that I write out $1 million checks for the gospel. Isn't that a good confession? See, but it's so far out there when you have almost nothing that it's like playland. You know, because it doesn't really impact you too much. So then the Lord he'll get more real with you, see. And here comes the Holy Ghost. Said, well, what about just making out a $1,000 check? Ew. Well, that might be possible. Now, not right at that moment, but he set his faith. He set up a little savings account. I forget the details now. It took 8 or 9 months, something like that. And he had the $1,000 to give. Okay? And he did it. And it wasn't really a problem. And that was, I know what that feels like. That's a success. We made that one. Now, here's the thing, see, because everybody's, I look at your faces so eager to hear God. Man, I want to do this. I want to have those visions, Gary. I want to fall over in a trance, just like Peter. Just like Peter, Brother Gary. I want to have a trance. I want to have visions. I want to hear the Lord. I'm looking forward to it so much. Yeah, I was too. We were doing this and doing this, and I'll never forget, we were sitting where we usually sit. And in the course of the service that particular day, I just had, these visions come quick. They don't just come and stay, but they flash across your spirit. But you get accustomed to them. And what I mean is you learn not to let them just go unnoticed, you know. But just as plain, just I saw me, something I would never do in the natural. But this particular lady that was in the service, a particular lady, I saw writing take a blank check and sign my name to it and hand this lady a blank check. That's not wise. Okay? You know, that's just not wisdom. I don't care who it is, you know. I'm not in the habit of just passing out signed checks to people. But there was no denying that I had the vision. But I got to use some excuse, so by two or three witnesses. But I just didn't just rush over there and do that. Well, Dave was doing the service that night, and he finished doing the service, you know, and like many times, he had a prayer line. And in that season, I had been assigned to kind of walk with Dave, just to be close by, when he was ministering to people. So I'm a man under authority. I do what I'm told. I'm walking. Well, that particular lady was in the line. I hadn't said nothing to nobody. I don't even know if I'd said anything to Sue at this point. And we're getting closer and closer, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't feel anything, nothing's happening. As soon as Dave stood in front of her, and I'm right next to him, my knees buckled. The anointing hit, the Holy Ghost hit me so strong. See, I want you to see how this leadership comes now. And I had to reach out and steady myself against the wall. And in the natural, now, we had really no detailed information about her situation. I will say this, in the natural, we probably figured she might could use some money. But we had no idea how serious it was. I mean, you know, I would have thought maybe $100, $200 or something. Anyway, while Dave is ministering to her, I don't have any idea what he was saying to her at all. Nothing. Because that vision come again real strong. And I saw it just as plain as anything. Well, went on past the line. As soon as I got a chance, I went over to Sue and I'm telling her what I saw. And see, this is all of you men that want a godly wife. That the problem is when something like this happens, they'll tell you, you better obey God. Obey God. So, okay. Now, right here, time out. The religious mind, what I'm about to tell you, the religious mind says, here, you're not supposed to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Otherwise, you lose your reward. Listen, we didn't do any of this to be seen of men. Nobody even knew about it but us and this lady. And the reason I'm doing it now is because I'm under instruction to teach you. And it was years ago anyway. And you need to have some idea of what to expect. So after the service, I make sure we get with her before she leaves. And we're just saying, we don't know what's going on, but the Lord told us, and we signed a check, handed it to her. So we don't know what's going on, but we're supposed to give you this. And I hope you're not insulted. I don't know if you're in any financial trouble or not, but we're supposed to do this. And she's looking at us like, well, yeah, you're hearing God, but she's going, how much can I make this for? And we're going, well, we're just doing what we were told, you know. Because we turn around, we're starting to walk away. And by the way, now, when the anointing, okay, when the Holy Spirit has taken you like this and you're following, your mind is almost over here on park. You know, your mental, that's why sometimes right in the middle of a service when I'm really under that teaching anointing, I can't even think of Bernard and Michelle's, and I can't think of Daisy's name, who we've been here 15, 16 years with. And I can't, because I'm not operating out of my mind. I'm kind of out of my mind, all right? But anyway, I'm over in the spirit, you know. So anyway, when you're doing that, your mental faculties are not at their best. We turn to walk away, and she says, "Now, I'm telling you, this could be quite a bit of money. Is there a limit?" And so I heard these words come out of my mouth before my brain ever knew what was happening. And I said, "Keep it under $5,000. As I was walking back to the chair, my mind came back to me. See, because we have the check we gave her was our from the ministry account. Because we do have a category called, benevolence. Benevolence, when people are in trouble, you know. But as my mind is coming back to me, and I'm going, wait a minute, what was the balance? And I'm checking it. Holy smokes. Because, you know, the whole balance in our international worldwide ministry at that time was roughly $3,000. And I just told the lady, keep it under $5,000. And I'm going, "God, I knew..." You're right about then, the devil goes, "See, I told you this praying in tongues does not work." <You know? laughs> So, but anyway, I'd already, you know, who does the Lord love? A man that swears to his own hurt and changes not. So I wasn't about to go back and change it. All right, so I said, we had told her, I says, "Now go home, get all those bills out, total them up, call me tomorrow, but keep it under $5,000. She totaled them all up, called us the next day. She said it was $4,700, and there was a couple more that she hadn't quite found. I said, "Well, since the Lord said keep it under five, go ahead and make the check out for $4,900. And deposit it tomorrow," not today, tomorrow. Because I didn't know what the plan was, because there wasn't enough in the ministry account to cover the check. Now, see, here's the part that you're not going to like. Your flesh is never going to like this part. So I'm going, "Lord, which gospel entrepreneur is going to walk through my door and hand me a check for $5,000? Is it going to be this one? Is it going to be that one?" And he says, "Remember that land that you sold recently?" "What land?" "That's our personal. Lord, my parents gave us that land a long time ago, Lord. We sold that and we're using that money kind of for other things anyway. We've been saving that money for a good thing. It wasn't just for us to use." But he says, "Yes, sir, I will." "Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll read that." See, he reminds you of your own words. See, when we do the Sunday night services, we're making confessions, calling those things that be not as though they were. We have a little fun with it sometime. And this one passage says, "Our financial granaries are full because our King has found stewards he can trust. And I'm one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first." And I usually tease a little bit. I say, "Don't go to Daisy's house first. Come to my house first. Whatever you have need of. And all I need to know is my Lord has need of it. And it's yours." So what we did, we went and took $5,000 of our personal money and just transferred it from our personal account over to the ministry account. And she never knew anything about that. She's not here any longer, by the way. So I'm not embarrassing anybody. Now see, look at it from her point of view. And this lady, she is not a lazy person. She is a hardworking person. But she had been through a terrible, terrible tragedy. Something that, anyway, it really was difficult. And it took her a while to work through it. She is through it now. Things are wonderful. I could go on, but I don't want you to have any idea. Now, from her point of view, what do you reckon she'd been praying? "Oh, God, oh, God." Oh, she told us that they're going to shut the electric off and tomorrow, the next day. I've already been without gas for how long? I tried to call her a couple of times. The phone had already been shut off. I mean, it was bad. And she didn't know what in the world she was going to do. And, you know, when you get that far behind, you know, she didn't know what in the world. And the Lord, from her point of view, in an instant, she was delivered. And from our point of view, we didn't eat any less the next day. We weren't any really diminished. You know, we drove the same car, lived in the same house, wore the same clothes, and that thing that we had, that we were saving it for, the Lord made a way to do that anyway.
Amen.
But see, you say, I want to hear the Lord, Brother Gary. My good friend Russ Gressett, I think 2 years ago in Houston during that September conference, he gave one of the services. He did one of the services, and he says, "Boy, in those early days when I was believing God to be a gospel entrepreneur," he says, "part of my heart was right, and I thought it was okay because, God, I was going to handle all this money for you. I was going to write out $1 million checks to Dave. I was going to write out $1 million checks to all these ministries, and we were going to get Africa saved. We were going to do all this stuff." So he says, "So that part was there, and that's the part that I focused on, but there was another part in me that was going kind of almost in a hidden room. Yeah, but look at all that money." See, and it's the one thing you... "Oh, sure, I'll give you $5,000 out of my personal account when there's $1 million left after I do it." See? But when you give it out of your personal account, nay, nothing left after you do it. Or what's left is already committed to something else. You know, that's a little bit different. I've told you before about the time I was making my confessions, just like all of you do every day, your confessions. Boy, I didn't get any amens, or wasn't I? You know, like you make your personal confessions on the money. And I was just going through there. "I thank you that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of blah, blah, blah of money every month. And I thank you, Lord." And just instantly, see, here comes the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. And just as clear as a bell, clear as you're hearing my voice right now, I heard him say, "Increase that confession by $4,000 a month." And I just took my pen, marked out what I was saying, added 4,000 to it. From that day forward, when I come to that line, "I thank you, Father, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of..." Now it was blah, blah, blah plus $4,000. Nothing changed the rest of that month, and I don't really think it did the next month. But starting about that next month, without us doing anything in the natural, we didn't change our letters, we didn't change the website, we didn't send out no appeal letters, we didn't send out a matching funds request, we didn't... We didn't do nothing. But you could look at it on a graph. Of course, it fluctuates some, but the average went up $4,000 a month and just stayed there. But see, the Holy Ghost, He will show you things to come. I didn't nearly need to know the rest of it. See, what He knew that I didn't know, we were about to take on a whole new level of production of the tapes and all the things that go along with that, you know, the vinyl covers and all of those things. We had to take... And guess how much it cost? Right around $4,000 a month. It got bigger than that. There was a time when just our postage would average $4,000 a month. Just the postage. Now it's almost nothing. It's about $250 a month now. You know why? Used to cost us $28, I think, or maybe $26, to send 6 tapes to Australia. Now we send 1 DVD with 400 messages for $1.90. Big difference. Big difference. And by the way, duplication is encouraged. It just saves me postage. You know, we're not selling the things anyway. I could care less. You know, just, hey, duplicate them. I'm trying to give you an idea of what it's really like if you start getting instruction. Doesn't that sound like the Lord? Here you got this little lady that loves Him and serving Him, and the devil has come and brought great tragedy in her life, and because of that now she's gotten behind on some things and she's crying out for God's mercy. Don't you want to be that agent of mercy? We got to get past the self-serving, though. And that, doesn't that fit that perfectly, you know? It's amazing. It's amazing. So if you're going to say things like, "Come to my house first," He may take you up on it. Might take you up on it, you know. Now, I want all of you to still keep coming to Calling in the Lost. You're going to keep making those confessions. All right. Let me go on a little farther here. The anointing has a voice. Let me read you my notes. Since the anointing is a person and not an it, He is able to communicate with us Himself. Those actions that are required to lose His power. The anointing is not a thing to be studied. You need to get this. The anointing is not a thing to be studied, but rather an entity with whom to fellowship with and cooperate with. Said another way, there is no need for guesswork regarding the activation of the power of God. The anointing himself will personally communicate with you those things that will release his power in every given situation. This is leadership indeed. This is light indeed. This eliminates all causes of stumbling in the dark, wondering what to do. The only things needful are to develop the ability to hear him and the mortification required to obey him. See, that's the harder part. But both of those things are going on while you're praying in other tongues, fasting, meditating the word. You're getting better at discerning his voice, but you're also mortifying all those parts of us that are still self-serving, still self-loving. All of that's being mortified. It's one thing to hear him. It's another thing to be dead enough to obey him, I'm telling you right now. Okay. You remember when Jesus said, again, this is just such a perfect illustration, Lazarus was sick, and so they sent the messengers, and they said, and you know, Jesus really loved Lazarus. I know he loved everybody, but he was a personal close friend with Lazarus. He whom thou lovest is sick. And you know, the sisters knew that if Jesus would come, Mary and Martha, that you know, the Lord would heal him. I've thought about this so many times, you know, if Greg, if you and I were developed to the point where we knew if we prayed they're going to get healed 100% of the time, we knew it, and our best friend, they're sending us word, he's deathly ill. See, the way it's been most of my life, I'm going to act on that carnal information, that natural information, and I'm going to make decisions without the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Jesus did not do that. He waited, was it 2 more days? And then finally he says, all right, let's go. Let's go. Let's go back, you know, let's go back down to Bethany. Let's go back down to where Lazarus lives. And the disciples, they knew what the danger was. They're going, hey, the Jews there were wanting to kill you. And you're wanting to go back down there? But see, Jesus told them, he says, look, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, what's the daylight for? It's the natural light that enables us to find our natural way in a natural world. When that light is shining, you can see there's a big boulder there and you won't trip over it. You'll walk around the thing. He's saying, boys, I'm not walking in the dark. I'm walking in the light of the counsel of the Holy Ghost. I'm not guessing. Now, he didn't go ahead and explain it to him, but you can read the whole passage. I mean, I never will forget when Dave first broke this. Once Lazarus died, see, the Jews were lying in wait thinking he's going to come. When he comes to heal Lazarus, we're going to arrest him. We're going to try and get him killed. They're going to put him on trial, and it was premature. You got to remember, he's walking like we walk. He's not walking as God. He's getting his light from the Holy Spirit the same way we have to get our light from the Holy Spirit. So he's going, all right, Holy Spirit, should I go? No, don't go. But 2 days later, Lazarus is, once he died, the Jews are going, well, I guess he's not coming. So they dispersed and went home. Now the Holy Spirit says, okay, now you can go. It was a perfect, you know, he said, in the same way that you use the natural light not to stumble in the dark, I'm walking in the light of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to stumble in the dark either. I'm walking in the light of day. Lazarus is dead. The Jews have gone. Let's go. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff? But see, I wonder, you know, because if we don't do something different than we've done in the past. Yes, sir. All right. Your Wednesday night group. Let's talk. You know and I know most of the time we're still making decisions based on carnal information. We're making decisions based on natural information most of the doggone time. We don't even think about asking the Holy Ghost, partly because we've not been taught at this level to do it. You know, we just say, oh, there's a need. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to go to there. I'm going to do that over there. I'm going to do this. When really he says in this face-to-face communication, he says, make no decisions based on carnal information without checking with me first. What if Jesus had just based his decision on the carnal information? When I say carnal, I just mean natural information. Your friend Lazarus is sick. I've got an anointing that heals the sick. Come on, boys, let's go. And he'd have fell right into the devil's trap. I wonder how many traps we're falling into. Everyone say, not anymore. Not anymore. We're going to start walking in the light of day. The light of the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Let me read that part to you where he said that in vessels of light. He says, I say again to you that the day will come when you shall be ahead of the game, not playing catch up any longer, not coming to me any longer full of questions concerning present problems, but you shall follow my counsel and my leadership to the place where you see everything ahead of time. Nothing shall take you by surprise. In every circumstance when you arrive, you have already received my counsel and my wisdom, and you already know what to do. These things belong to the sons who serve the living God. If, and there's a big if they give the time to learn how to flow with me, says the Spirit of grace. Boy, what a walk that would be. And it is available. Say it out loud. He has not left me as an orphan. He's not expecting me to find my own way. He expects the Holy Spirit to lead me. And he expects me to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's us. All right. Let me just mention a couple more here. The anointing regenerates. With the power resident within the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's actions, what we normally refer to as the anointing, he moves at the subatomic level to regenerate material substance and material situations to conform to the will of the Father, as revealed from the mind of Christ, who is Lord of all. Now, just as an example of that, Sunday night we talked about the man at the gate beautiful. He was born lame from his mother's womb, birth defect. See, it's one thing, you know, maybe your faith gets to where, okay, I can believe God for a healing. Most people have more trouble with a birth defect, somebody that's born that way. If you can imagine what his legs and ankle bones must have looked like. I mean, I've seen cerebral palsy patients that haven't walked in 30 years, and their leg bones are smaller than my wrists. I mean, their little legs, they've got no muscles. They've never been developed. They've never used them at all. They're there, but they're just, no way would they support the weight of the body. Yet if you read carefully in Acts chapter 3, where that lame man was healed, when Peter spoke the words of authority in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When he spoke that, the Holy Spirit, as we're not told this, but you can tell, it says that man, he leaped and he jumped and he's praising God. People, that's impossible without the Holy Spirit regenerating the muscles and the sinews and the bones in that man's legs. Here you had the agent of authority speaking the words in the name of Jesus. Then here comes the agent of power. Whatever he does, regenerating muscles and ankles, because it says he kept on doing it, going into the temple, leaping and praising and shouting praise to God, you know. Man, what a world. We are in for a ride. I can see them right now at Walmart. I can see it in the Tulsa World. Those people from the prayer center came, and the lady had been in a wheelchair for 30 years. But they just commanded in the name of Jesus, rise, rise up and walk. And she was able to just jump up and leap and shout and praise God, even though she hadn't walked in 30 years. Exciting days are ahead, people. This is called revival. But it's us and the Holy Spirit who is the anointing. Hallelujah. Okay, this is important. Make a note. The anointing, or you could say the Holy Spirit, or you could say the power, is activated by faith. He does not move to regenerate simply because it is the will of the Father. Neither simply because it is in the mind of Christ Jesus. But rather because it is acted upon by believers in faith. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. Is that not correct? So at the gate beautiful for 40 years. The Holy Spirit's there. Has the power to regenerate that man's legs. But nothing happens. See, somebody, a believer, it takes both. It takes the agent of authority and the agent of power. Somebody has to act in faith. Somebody has to give the command. Somebody has to speak forth the word. Then the Holy Spirit is authorized to move. It doesn't happen just because it's the will of the Father. If it did, everything would already be according to the will of the Father. But it's not. So that means somebody's going to have to believe with the heart, say with the mouth, and obey the instructions received by the Holy Ghost. Whatever He says, that's what we do. Because He's bringing us instructions from the Master. Now here's exactly that phrase I was looking for. His anointing is available for all things. I should say His power, because He is the anointing. In another face-to-face, He said to me, "You are learning," or maybe it's in this one, "You are learning and will learn about making no decisions based on carnal information without seeking first My counsel in every matter, even in the smallest detail. Make no decisions based on carnal information, regardless of how serious those situations seem, and how immediate and how pressing. Make no decision without hearing My counsel." This tells me that we must press beyond the normal level of thinking that the anointing is only available on rare occasions, like when we're in services. Since He is the anointing, and He is instructing us to make no decisions without first hearing His counsel, then we must conclude it's the Father's will that we live in that level of anointing all the time. Otherwise, these instructions make no sense. We are not to expect the anointing to come and go as we see it occurring in the Old Testament. Since He has come to abide with us forever and He is the anointing, then we must expect His anointing to abide with us forever, all the time. Now I've got to remind you of something you've heard Dave say many times. And we've got 4 minutes left, so we're not going to finish this tonight. How many of you have heard Dave tell about those years when he was on the circuit and he had the twin engine airplanes, and you know, he'd pull his airplane right up, they'd park it right next to Charles Capp's airplane, and but the pace was so hectic, and plus at that season there was a lot of this grace teaching going around, you know, that really, brother, it's all by grace, and it doesn't really matter your righteousness, and there's a grain of truth in it, and it says your righteousness is not based on what you do, so really your righteousness is all by the Spirit. And you know what they were leading up to with that is you can really have God in the world too, you know. And Dave says he was, you know, it was messing with him because, you know, he never did get over into serious sin. But he says, I mean, I got to tell you, there was a little period of time where I was thinking maybe they're right. You know, maybe you can have God in the world too. So he said what it was like in those days. He said, I'd show up at the service. And this was the time when he was having trouble staying in prayer all the time. None of us have ever had any trouble staying in prayer. Let's not be so hard on Dave, okay? But he says, you know, it was difficult, you know. So here he is though on the circuit. And he said it was amazing. Man, I'd show up at the service, and it's like God showed up. And I'd pray, splat, pow, people, you know, miracles, teeth filled, hallelujah, ankle bones would grow out, and all kinds of miracles would happen. And it would be great, and the presence of God was there, and everything was wonderful. He says, and I'd go home to my room, God would go home to His. See, and that's what it's like when it's just strictly by the gifts. That is what it's like. And so you get accustomed to, well, the next anointing line, you know. The reason I know that is I've lived like that too long myself, you know. I live pretty much Gary's world. Trouble is, Sue has to live in it with me. But anyway, it's Gary's, you know. And then, you know, come to the service. Oh, yeah, I'm a man of God. Holy Spirit is here. And then all of a sudden, my expectation is up. And it's amazing, the gifts of the Spirit flow. And boy, the anointing comes and I can hear Him real clear and pow, splat, and all kinds of good things happen. Pray in the name. Yes. Hallelujah. Ah, devils, it's wonderful. It's church, you know. And then when I drive home, Sue has to go home with me, but he doesn't. Now he does. Understand what I'm saying? But it's like when you're in more of a natural state of mind all the time, that's what it's like. It's like, and it's because of us. It's not because of Him. The truth of the matter is He is with us all the time. But our awareness of His presence, it's like He goes home. And we don't think in that mindset at Walmart that He's right there. He's right here. We don't think of that mindset at the restaurant. We're listening and monitoring. I'm telling you, you can monitor that place within you. You can. The reason I know, I've done it. I've practiced it. You can. Driving the trucks was good practice for me. You learn where to monitor that place in you. First, you got to find it. But once you find it, it's just like tuning a radio. You know where it is. And you start finding that place in you, and you can listen. And becoming aware of His presence is one of the big keys all the time. Because if you're aware of that and expecting stuff to happen, guess what? He's wanting to do a whole lot more through our lives than what's happening now. So as we become aware of that, monitor all the time what He's saying, I'm telling you, great things are about to happen. Great things. And happen all the time, not just at church. And not just through Dave either. Through you. All kinds of wonderful things. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Jesus is the head of the church. I am part of His body on earth. He has authorized me to use His name. I am His agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is with me everywhere I go. He is the agent of power. He leads me with the light of the counsel of the mind of Christ. I always know what to do. I'm not an orphan. I'm going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Because God the Holy Ghost is with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. To be continued. Hallelujah. Is that good? Is that good? Now next week, next time, all I know is what's next in the sequence. We're going to start talking about the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. And it's a little bit different than fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I brought a few examples. But now, the Lamb's Room of Fellowship, you're going to enjoy that. Well, I'll just say, yes, you're going to enjoy that. Hallelujah.